Today, Pastor Ray Bentley shows us how God stepped in to foil a death sentence imposed by King Nebuchadnezzar.
And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. That is God, and that is cool. No pun intended.
Spread the news.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel, to the whole world. God can calm an angry sea or send plagues of locusts. He can raise the dead, make the deaf hear, and the lame walk. He delivered Lot, Moses, David, Elijah, Jonah, Daniel, Peter, Paul, and Silas. And today we'll see we can add three more names to the list.
There is a great story here in Daniel chapter 3, and I want to personally challenge every single individual that is here tonight to be open to being either the man or the woman like these three young people were about 2,700 years ago. Nebuchadnezzar. So if you've been with us, you know this guy is the most powerful man on the planet Earth. He's over an empire called the Babylonian Empire. He's already conquered Israel. He has destroyed the temple, taken the treasures out of the temple, brought it back to Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold whose height was 90 feet and its width 6 cubits. In those days, they didn't have skyscrapers like now, so you could see it for miles. It was the tallest thing around. Gold out in the middle of the plain, meaning the sun shining off it. Here's this golden image, and everywhere you look at it from north, south, east, or west, looks like Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar says, I have a great idea. Why don't all my people bow down and worship me? And then it says in verse 6, whoever does not fall down and worship. Now that by the way, when you worship, there's almost something instinctively in humanity. You go down on your face, even when those who would come into the presence either of sometimes angels or a vision of the Lord, boom, you fall on your face to worship because you're not worthy and the glory of the Lord is so powerful. Well, here's a man wanting the same kind of worship, saying, I want you to fall down and worship. And if whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. So in verse 7, so at that time when all the people heard the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, symphony of all kinds of music, all the people, nations, and languages fell down and worshiped the gold image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And therefore at that time certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music shall fall down and worship at the golden image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. So these guys are saying, isn't that what you said, O king that we love and that we worship? Well, there are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Remember after Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, had together prayed, and God gave to them the interpretation of the king's dream. Well, now they're coming and they're saying, hey, you remember those three Jews that you put in charge over us? The three, translation or interpretation, foreigners who moved in, and now you have put into a place of honor and position and prestige and authority over us? He said, these men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your, notice, gods, plural, or worship the golden image which you have set up. Now, how did Nebuchadnezzar respond? This gives you an insight into this guy's character. This guy seems like he was about emotionally 13 years old. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, I can see him, you know, like Yosemite Sam, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so they brought these men before the king. Yes, they were men, but they were young men, probably still in their late teens, maybe by now, if some time had passed, in their early 20s. Nebuchadnezzar himself spoke, saying to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, psaltery, and symphony, with all kinds of music, and you fall down." It was like he was choreographing the whole thing. And then everything comes in. The violins come in here and the flutes come in there. And then you guys all fall down and worship me and worship the image which I have made. Good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? So here's Nebuchadnezzar, and he tells these kids, look, here's the way it is. They're going to strike up the band again. We're going to start from the top. Dink, dink, dink. He lifts his baton, and then he begins to play. But before that happens, verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter," or in other words, we have no need to defend ourselves. "If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning, fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king." And then I love this in verse 18, "But if not, let it be known to you, O king, we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." Man, can you imagine? Now imagine, I'm imagining hundreds of thousands of other people all laying down going, "You see those three guys standing up? Oh, those guys were out of their mind. I wouldn't stand up for all the world. You hear what's going on?" And you know, not just the people of the other nations and the ambassadors and the heads of state from other, they're all bowing down too. Probably nobody wants to, but they're all down. When a guy puts a 90-foot image of himself up and he's got his army saying, "I'll throw you into the fire," then okay, so we'll bow a little bit. But it wasn't just three Jews there. There was a whole captivity of Jews. There were thousands and thousands and thousands of thousands of Jews who were all on their face. Now, I would venture to say that a number of them said, "I may be bowing down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside." But physically, they were down on the ground. And the reason for that is everybody knew if you stand up on the outside, okay, fine, yeah. I mean, I'm being coerced. I don't really worship this guy. I know he's not a god. The only god's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I worship him, the Holy One of Israel. But what am I going to do? I'm in a foreign country, and if I stand up, they're going to kill me. I've got a wife. I've got kids. I can't do it. So, Lord, I'm standing up on the inside, but I'm laying down on the outside. But they look over and look at those three kids. Look at those three teenagers. They're going to get killed. And they thought about it. And here's what is amazing to me, because this is revival. And it happened with only three people. Didn't happen with 10. Didn't happen with 100. Didn't happen with 1,000. Didn't happen with a stadium full of people. Three young men stood up at a time, the specific time, and said, you know what? And here's the three points I have very quickly here. Number one. And I think the application for you and I are living in days where these stories will be repeated in our lifetime. And you have to make a choice now to prepare your heart for the time to come. Stand your ground. There is a time for rebellion. And I want to give you biblically permission in a certain place. It might be, who knows where it might be, in the workplace. It might be situation with your friends or some, whatever it may be, where you are standing. "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. We don't care what you think. We don't care your opinion. We don't care your views. We don't care what you have to say about it. We're not going to bow down to you, to your image, or to your gods." They stood their ground. Are you ready to stand your ground? What if it cost you your life? What if, you know, God forbid, what if it came to the point where, as it's happened in the former Soviet Union or even maybe in other places in Asia, hey, either you deny your Jesus or you're going to go meet him right now. What would you do? These guys stood their ground. And then they stated their faith. Hey, not only, and here he is. There's a fiery pit waiting for them. They go, our God is able to deliver us. Not only, in other words, he has the power to stop that bullet. He has the power to quench that flame. And not only does he have the power, he will deliver us. My God will save me. My God will defend me. My God will stand behind me because he is the only God. He is the only Lord. He is the only Savior. And I'm not going to worship you or anybody else. No other gods. I like that. State your faith. State what you believe. And then I like, thirdly, what they did. They surrendered the results to God. But if not, if you throw us in, and there we are, screaming in the fire that we're being burned and we're going to die. Even if he doesn't deliver us here and now, he can, he's able, he will, one way or another, but even if not, we will not bow. Basically, this has been summarized by somebody that I heard years ago, and they said it like this. The king said, either you bow down and worship me, or you're going to burn. These three teenagers stood up and they said, no way. They said, if we do bow down to you, then we will really burn forever. But if we don't bow down to you, we can't burn. Now that's faith. In the test of time, and some of you, the test will be in school. Some, the test will be with a professor. These three guys were at Babylonian University, and all their professors and all their teachers and all their role models and everything else were bowing down with everybody else. But there were only three who stood up and said, no, we're standing up not just for what we think or what we feel or what we believe. We're standing up for what is right, and we're standing up for what is true, and we're not going to bow down. And our God is able to deliver us. Our God will deliver us. Exodus chapter 20, verses 3 through 6. I've got this in your notes out of the NIV. Here's why they didn't bow down. They were honoring the word of God. Let's read this scripture out loud together. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. God says, I'll show love and mercy to 1,000 generations. He says, but don't bow down and don't worship any other image. And the reality is, the Babylonian gods and goddesses allowed for all kinds of evil, selfish, wicked things that destroyed people, that destroyed lives. And you know, I want to also share this with you because this comes from Exodus, it comes from the law. And most people think of the law, and in the world they start arguing about morality and what's right and what's wrong. Let me give to you another way of thinking about the law of God, the word of God. It's not just between, well, what's right and wrong. Because someone will argue with you and they will say, well, hey, you know, what you think is right and wrong and what I think is right and wrong, and I'll respect you and you respect me, and everybody does what's right in their own eyes. And it gets to be this whole battle of morality. It's not just about morality, and it's not just about what's right and what's wrong. And the Bible is one of many views of what's right and wrong and how to live your life. This is what God revealed in his word. It's deeper than that. He said, if you follow my word, you will live. And if you go against my word, you will die. It's not that God will kill you because you don't follow his word. It will just happen. Every violation of God's law leads to death. And so that's why the prophets kept saying, why do you want to die? If you want to live, choose the Lord. That's why Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. When you choose the Lord and His word, you are choosing life. And it's something that comes to you, and it comes to your family, it comes to your marriage, it comes to your children, it comes down to your next generation and the blessing of the Lord. So these guys stood up. Now, verse 19. Here they get saved. I love this, and we'll close with this. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. He was angry with these guys. What do you mean you won't worship me? And the expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat this furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. Well, that's nice. It's not bad enough that you're going to burn. He wants you to burn fast. This was as close to a microwave as he could get. He wanted them to burn and be crispy before they even reached the bottom of the flame. Verse 20, and he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, trousers, turbans, and their other garments. Okay. And were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So the guys who were going to throw him into the fire, you know, they carry him. And the king's like, I guess they're at spear point or whatever. And he goes, okay, get closer, get closer. They had to get close enough to the flames to throw him in. The guys who went up to the edge of this basically big pit where the flames are coming out, they died. They all burned up. And so they all fall down, their little burning bodies. And so then these three guys are thrown into the flames. And then look what happens. Verse 23, these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the midst of the burning, fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. He was there, he had a front row seat. He rose in haste, and he spoke, saying to his counselors, hey, didn't we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered, and they said unto the king, true, O king. You can count, big guy. Look, he answered, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth looks like a son of God or the son of God. I want you to note this. They were thrown into the fire, and there was something that was totally, completely burned, but not them. The only thing that was burned was what? The ropes. The only thing that burned were the ropes that were binding them. May I suggest to you that if you're afraid of what happens if I stand up for my faith and I stand out and they're going to come at me or whatever and they're going to tie my hands, they're going to bind me up, they're going to try to punish me in some way, the only thing that will burn are the ropes that are hindering you or binding you. The other thing that you will experience is these guys are in a fiery furnace. And the fourth, like the Son of God. Who do you think that was? Jesus. The Messiah. Before, this is one of many occurrences in the Old Testament where it appears that Jesus came in an incarnation or some manifestation, a theophany it's called, an appearance of God before his actual incarnation. And there's Jesus. And then he says, look, they're loose. What that means, interpreted, is they're walking around in the fire. Imagine 4 guys walking around in the flames. Now, how amazed would you be if you were thrown in this fire? You saw the guys that throw you in. They all lit up, and they're burned. And there you are, and you're going, I don't feel anything. Do you feel anything? I don't feel anything either. Wow, look at that. Who's that? There's some guy over there, and he's brighter than the 7-time flame that was lit up. And this figure comes walking over, and it's none other than the Messiah. And all of a sudden, how many of you would want to have a conversation with the Messiah in the midst of fire that's not even touching you? You don't feel anything. And apparently, look what happens here. He's astonished. Yeah, we threw in 3. Well, I see 4. Then in verse 26, Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and he spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Now, that's amazing. I would think that if you were thrown in, whoa, nothing burned me. Let's get out and climb out. They hung around. They had to be called, hey, come out. They didn't want to get out. They were in the midst of a fiery furnace. Nothing was happening to them, and they were getting to talk to the Messiah. So he had to call, hey, you guys, shout, and he's being very respectful. He calls them by their names. He doesn't say, hey, you guys. He goes, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, servants of the Most High God. Being very respectful now, isn't he? Come out. Come here. And then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. And then again, the satraps, administrators, governors, the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men on whose body the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. That's God. That is God, and that is cool. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, blessed be. Now look at this guy. Boy, can he change on a dime. Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel, that's all he knew what to call him, and delivered his servants who trusted in him, and they have frustrated the king's word. Well, that's a nice way of putting it, frustrated his word. He basically said, Nebuchadnezzar, you're a knucklehead. I'm not going to do what you said. And yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree. Oh boy, here goes Nebuchadnezzar again. The Babylonian Oscars continue. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this. And then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. So now Nebuchadnezzar has become a believer that the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is a god among many gods, maybe the best of all the other gods. This poor guy, 90-foot image of himself in gold, he's going to go from that to chewing on grass like a cow. He's going to go nuts, basically. And in the end, he gives a testimony. And while we laugh at this crazy character, you know what? I believe when we get to heaven, we'll not only meet Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but I think you're going to meet Nebuchadnezzar. I think he's our brother. And he came to be a believer as well.
Pastor Ray Bentley, pointing out the surprising spiritual journey of King Nebuchadnezzar. What a great study today of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, saved in the fire with Jesus right there beside them. Now, you can hear today's message on CD. It's a study called Staying Cool in Fiery Trials, and we can send it to you for just $7. Contact us and mention the title Staying Cool in Fiery Trials. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Daniel on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com. Or here's where to write, Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Some people confuse astronomy, the study of celestial objects, with astrology, a system of divining the future based on the occult. Where one can bring you closer to our spiritual adversary, a study of the heavens can reveal things about God. And you'll find an example of that in Pastor Ray's new book called The Holy Land Key.
We believe the book of Job is the oldest book. And in Job chapter 38, Job is having a conversation where God is speaking to him, and God mentions the Maseroth. When you look it up, is basically the 12 constellations, what we call in Greek the zodiac. Most people think of the zodiac as, oh, astrology, stay away from that. In fact, before astrology came, there was God revealing himself through these 12 pictures. 12 is a number for God. And they point to the story of the gospel. It's fascinating.
Pastor Ray tells you more in the pages of his brand new book, The Holy Land Key. The subtitle is Unlocking End Times Prophecy Through the Lives of God's People in Israel. It's far too easy to miss the significant prophetic signs contained in God's creation, in stories of biblical characters, and in the lives and actions of today's Israelis and Palestinians. Well, Pastor Ray helps us unlock the insights, and he brings the puzzle pieces together. Let us send you a copy of The Holy Land Key. It's available in our online store at maranatharadio.com. And if God has made an impact on your life through Pastor Ray's teaching, would you let him know? Drop a note in the mail or connect on Twitter. He's at Ray Bentley. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Daniel. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.